Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning, a cold morning, Eric Wyatt, who has been very warm recently, I'm thinking.
Good morning, Mike. Yes, it has been warm over at our office.
So, Eric, before we go to the point of giving an update on what's been happening to recover from the events this past summer, early spring, actually, I thought it would be helpful, as I was thinking about this, to remind people that when we talk about IT or information systems, et cetera, maybe just a kind of a quick overview that says, where does your office not have some impact in the operations of the borough?
Wow. Off the top of my head, that's pretty tough. I think we provide systems that help people in every aspect of the borough, and thereby every aspect of serving the citizens that live in the Valley area.
So, from your response, I'm guessing that really everything the borough does, and most things that citizens are involved with, in some way or another are touched by the activities of data systems and computers and all the rest of that in the borough.
It certainly is. Even if the performance of the duties, say plowing a road or something of that nature, doesn't use a computer directly, the coordination to get those trucks out there do use quite a few IT systems to get information to the people that need to go do that work. And then, of course, coordination via email or even phones today are all IT systems, are all IT-related systems. So all the coordination to provide any kind of a service uses IT.
Got it. So back, as I remember from previous reports, back somewhere maybe in May, there was an intrusion into the system that lay sort of hidden for a while or was discovered. And then your response led to essentially a shutdown. How would you best describe that? What was the effect of discovering this malware intrusion into your systems?
Well, it appears that the malware was into the system and lay dormant or hidden for a couple of months even. And while this malware was inside our system, they could have been looking for information or planning a greater attack or waiting for some time to launch a greater attack. Once we saw that something was there and then we took measures to try to eradicate it came back with the crypto locker type of a virus or ransomware that we're familiar with. And when that happened, that rendered most of our systems inoperable. And so that meant that everything was shut down. So that's our email and our websites, our financial systems, even our phones. And so that really affected everything that we do from an IT perspective.
On the other hand, I know that the borough still operated. And that's the fascinating thing to me, is to say, okay, with that incredible impact on a system that is runs everything, you were still able to operate.
We were. The borough has gone through an exercise about 2 years prior where we did a tabletop exercise for just this kind of scenario, and we talked about what would we do if we lost our IT systems. So most every office in the borough was prepared to work from manual methods in case something like this were to happen. So we are still able to perform our duties of supporting our citizens, even though IT is down temporarily.
Right. So you mentioned the example of snow plowing. So road work could still be done. It just it was not going to be benefiting from what has become a very, very helpful way of identifying places and allocating resources and all the rest of that.
Exactly. We've made great strides in the past few years of modernizing our IT systems. And the reason that we do all of that is because it makes our personnel more efficient at what we do. With our growing population in the borough and not a growing number of employees at the borough building, the people that are there have to be more efficient in order to support the population that we have. So we've been putting IT systems in place that allow our personnel to be more efficient. So when this kind of thing happens, we can still do our job, but not nearly as efficiently as we had been doing.
Okay. Let's fast forward. It's now November. That went quickly. But I know in the interim, there were a lot of long hours spent and a lot of resources put, some significant costs associated with fixing things. And I'm not sure where the figure is now. It seemed to be millions somewhere. And the what required the added cost? I'm guessing there were some people brought in. There were some other things done. Mm-hmm. But in as you think about where all the additional monies were spent, can you just sort of, for listeners, give some idea of where that money went?
Certainly. So the number is up over $2 million at this point. And I'll back up a little bit. When this first happened, the national averages for an attack of this type on an organization of our size and type, recovery cost about $1 million. This summer, there has been a great number of attacks across the nation, and that number has grown to over $3.5 million. So right now, we're at just over two. And so we're doing very well as far as our recovery is concerned compared to recoveries of its type. Now, where that money goes is I've needed a tremendous amount of manpower. Of course, we're the size of West Virginia here, and we have buildings as far away as Talkeetna, which is a two-hour drive from here. Mm-hmm. So that manpower needed to travel all over the borough and go to every office that we have, retrieve computers, get them brought back, get them cleaned, and then put them back in place. So we've had a tremendous amount of manpower necessary to essentially wipe our entire system clean and then reinstate it. So that's where a large part of the cost went is simply in terms of man hours. When I go to restore our systems, I can't restore it back to where we were. I have to come back in a stronger position security-wise. Mm-hmm. So some of the money for this recovery has also gone to new hardware, new software, and, again, the manpower necessary to install it, configure it, and run it. So I would say between a third to 40% of those costs have been to increase our security posture. Now, this is money that we would have been spending over the next few years to increase our security posture anyway. So at this point, I'm a little bit ahead on some of the projects that I had hoped to be doing in the coming years.
Now, you've alluded to events of a similar sort occurring elsewhere. And I think when the news came out, there was a talk of an attack in Valdez. Mm-hmm. And since the event here with the borough, would you say that nationwide there are significantly increased number of attacks, or where are we in what might be the history of such attacks?
Well, just prior to our attack, the groups that do this were actually threatening large cyber attacks across the U.S. and across the world of this nature. So there were groups threatening this, and the information that I've gotten from the people that I've worked with have said that, yes, there have been a huge number of these types of attacks across our country and even in other parts of the world. These attacks are more sophisticated, they're more coordinated, they're not done by a single group with one type of attack, but these attacks are combined, as we saw in ours, that many different types of malware were employed in our attack, and odds are those are from different groups working together in order to do these attacks. So yes, this has been a problem across the country. The costs have been rising. And as we mentioned with the malware or the ransomware, the ransom is demanded, but even when you pay it, it still costs $3.5 million to recover, because even though you've paid it and you've gotten some of your data back, you still have to rebuild and scrub and make sure everything is gone and come back with stronger systems. And in a lot of cases, people have paid the ransom and not gotten the decryption keys, not gotten their data back. So it's a very costly problem, I know that we've had a lot of attention here in the state, and there's also very high federal attention as this for this as well. In fact, I've been on webinars here recently with the Department of Homeland Security. They are taking this very seriously, and they are reaching out to help communities like ours.
So what's your sense that you can tell listeners about where the attack originated? You've mentioned groups, different players and so on. Is there anything that we know that can be shared about who did this?
Well, as soon as this attack was launched, we invited the local FBI Cyber Crimes Division in the state of Alaska in to do forensics analysis on our attack. Now, what they find is classified. And so I don't necessarily get the all of the reports on that myself. And but what we do know is that there have been nation states around the world that have done this kind of attack. And you've seen quite a bit of this in the news as well. You probably remember that after our governor and other people from the state visited China, there was news reports of increased China hacking against the university and some of the other state agencies. This seems to be a typical pattern. And so we can look at this type of attack and we can believe that it might be some organized groups outside of the country. But I think when it comes to the actual analysis of who this came from, that one's for the FBI and for
other people.
Other people, yeah.
Okay. So now that you are, well, let's go step by step. Some people like to think in terms of, well, now that you've cleaned things up a bit, you've added some new equipment, et cetera, in terms of the operation of the borough, is it doing better than it was? Or are there still some areas that are being improved and fixed and so on?
So one of my targets was to be 95% operational by the end of September. And by that, I meant that the people at their desks have their applications back and they can use the software and the utilities that we have provided for them at their desks. And we met that one pretty well. So we were 95% back, but that, again, that's the operations of the borough. That was not IT. In IT, we've still got a long, long way to go to be fully recovered. One of the things that we did as we were recovering is we used a concept called minimum viable product, meaning what's the absolute minimum I can give back to my users to get them back to work. And once I got that up and running, then I want to come back and strengthen the underlying infrastructure for that. We are back in a better place now because we do have greater security than we had earlier. As I mentioned, we're probably a couple years ahead on some of these projects. But we still have a lot of work to go, and I'm hoping that by the end of the calendar year or into mid-January, IT will be on pretty solid footing, but there will be other aspects that will probably take us clear into May and June before I really can put a fork in it and call it done.
So what could you share with listeners that maybe has been reviewed and improved in terms of individual operational security for if indeed that leads to some problems? You know, this is the classic idea that someone plugs a thumb drive in or something and creates havoc. Have you made some overall changes in the way people operate?
We have. In the past, cybersecurity was a posture of prevention. We tried to keep the bad stuff out. In this day and age, keeping the bad stuff out is almost impossible. So we've moved from a concept of prevention to one of containment. So what that means is that we know that we're going to get a continuing attacks. In fact, I see them every day. I was up earlier this morning looking at some of the data of the attacks that we've received over the weekend. So we are going to be attacked continuously in the future. We have to be right every time. They have to be right once. And we understand that every once in a while they're going to slip through. So some of the new security that we've put in place is if they do get into an individual machine, into an individual workstation, we will discover it and contain it to that workstation as quickly as possible so that it can't spread across the rest of our network like it had done in the past.
Okay.
Then we can simply restore that one workstation and get that user back to work.
Okay. Okay. So what you have described then, just to point to this weekend, is that the war isn't over, that there are continuing attacks, presumably in other jurisdictions, other municipalities and agencies and banks and et cetera. One of the ones that one of the topics that often comes up, particularly since tomorrow is the election day, is there any effect on anything tied to elections from what happened at the borough?
Well, we knew earlier this summer that there had been threats to elections by some of these same groups that do this kind of cyber attack, that they wanted to disrupt our elections. So I think by us kind of poking back and seeing this attack early and then being recovered, that actually puts us in a little bit better place than we would maybe otherwise have been. Now, when it comes to our election support here in the borough, as soon as we saw the effects of this, we rebuilt our elections network, which is really some workstations, some servers, and some software. We got that rebuilt and got it completely separated so that it has absolutely no opportunity for contamination. So as far as the borough's elections is concerned and what we do to prepare and then count the ballots, and of course most of us, our elections are paper ballots anyway, but ours is completely clean. So we've really gone the extra mile to make sure that there is no problem with our elections.
Okay. And then, of course, the elections that are going on Tuesday, the 6th of November, are they're in a state-operated system.
Right.
And the borough doesn't really have any IT component that works with that.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Now, what about anything else that I have not asked about as you're looking forward here, maybe beginning with, I'm guessing that you, back in March or February of this year, were in a different place than you are today, because of the kind of devastating attack in many ways, and a recovery and a chance to look once again at something that you have been looking at for some time. How would you summarize you have changed in this period of time, which is almost six to seven months.
Well, I think there's been something that is quite remarkable and quite good that has come out of all of this. As you know, Mike, that we've been involved in this smart communities activity.
Sure.
And we've been trying to bring people together to work together and work smarter and share information. That effort is really been ramped up here in the last few months. And I have been working now with several other IT professionals around the state. And as I mentioned, even federal employees, federal agencies that are involved here, we're all sharing information. We're all helping one another. I think that through this, we've all realized that we can't win this alone. For an organization the size of the borough, we're outgunned, and we can't fight this by ourselves. So we have to work together with state agencies and the muni and federal agencies. And by all working together, we can keep this threat at bay. And so one of the things that I see coming from this that I find is quite remarkable and quite good is how, yet again, Americans come together in time of crisis, work together, and win.
Okay. What would be a recommendation or encouragement you would then share with listeners who are either small business people or they have their home networks of things? in terms of how would they work with others? Because very often I see an individual or a small business being by itself. Mm-hmm. And as you're suggesting, maybe that's not the best way to be.
Absolutely not. Get involved. Be involved. You know, feel free to anybody listening. Feel free to pick up the phone, give me a call, and be involved in part of this effort. Get the information that you need. You know, use your IT professionals. Use organizations such as the borough and my department, and really learn what the threat is and learn the industry best practices on how to keep that at bay. And there are resources that can help us. And we really are going to have to work together. One of the things that we see is that an attack of this kind on a business, on a commercial business, may damage reputation. And so the natural inclination is not to be vocal about the attack on a business. Mm-hmm. We were very vocal at the borough, but it's not going to hurt our bottom line. So I really feel that it's our job to be vocal about this and raise awareness to help other people. So if your listeners here are a business and you're concerned about these things, or even if you've had an incident and you don't want damage to your reputation, we can still work together, and it doesn't have to be public, but we can talk together, we can work together, and we can help you, we can help each other. And we can help your business be in a better position security-wise as well.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here, Radio Free Palmer. I've been talking with Eric Wyatt, who is all things IT, which is everything, really, as we've discussed earlier at the borough. Thank you for coming in today.
Yes, thank you, Mike.